Danny Burns joining me to talk about his career and the new music he's been making. Danny, I got to say that that being your debut album, North Country, you're like an overnight sensation, 20 years in the making.
Yeah, something like that, you know, 25 years maybe added, you know, I'm almost 40. I'm 39, and I started playing in bars and pubs back in Ireland when I was 14, 15. So, yeah, just been grafting for a long time. And then, of course, there was plenty of recording sessions and sideman stuff. And just, you know, this was something that I just kind of really took my time working at and wanted to kind of learn how to produce a record. And I kind of got the hang of that by just kind of getting to play or hang out with these fantastic folks that agreed to play on the record, you know. So there wasn't really much producing to be done at all, but they were, Tim O'Brien and all the guys were just great, kind of teaching me, bringing me along, showing me how to do it, you know.
You mentioned that you started playing bars and pubs when you were in the mid-teens, and you grew up with traditional Irish folk music in County Donegal. Were you just sort of steeped in it from a young age?
Yep, just coming from the more traditional musical background over there, where it's a lot of fiddle tunes, and Donegal's, the Northwest would be popular for fiddle tunes, and so the guitar player is more of the backing, plays the backing role, and you grew up on that, and accordion and fiddle and whistle, and played in trad bands, and then of course you get into your later teens and you kind of rebel against the traditional stuff and you want to do rock and roll and you want to play reggae and you want to do all that stuff, and then you try to do that and you do that badly, and then you come back to your roots eventually and all that kind of stuff.
I understand that you've you lived in several locations in the U.S. and including New York and New Orleans and the D.C. suburbs in Maryland, and the influences that you've had, you seem to just soak up the music of whatever area you are in.
Yep. I kind of made an asserted effort when I was about 18 or 19. I was in New York City. My oldest brother he lived there. So I used to come out and visit him. That's kind of when I started getting into the more kind of original creative side of things, like writing songs. And then once I kind of got bitten by that bug, then I kind of determined that New York City is obviously a great hub for all sorts of artistic endeavors and music, and I got inspired by that, and then I wanted to kind of figure out what was going on in these other places, you know, whether it be Memphis or Nashville or Chicago, the blues scene in Chicago, you know, New Orleans jazz versus New York jazz, and did a little bit of time in LA. Yeah, it was my way of kind of getting my uneducated mind how to learn what it is these places produce, you know.
And it all brought you around to bluegrass. How did that happen?
I was doing a regular gig in DC in around 2012, 2013, started playing. I was putting an acoustic band together. It was a regular gig I had in DC every Thursday night. And I kind of used it as an opportunity to kind of rotate some players and see if I wanted to have a drum kit in there or if I wanted to have electric bass versus acoustic bass. And of course, growing up with the traditional Irish stuff, I also grew up listening to traditional country and bluegrass music back in Ireland, which would have been around my house growing up as a kid. As I progressed, I kind of met some fantastic bluegrass players out of the DC area. We all started to take that Thursday night gig. It started to come together. So then we started recording some of these songs of mine, using that instrumentation. And the band started to get real tight. That went on for a while. That was, I'd say, 2 years. And then it made me confident that I could record the songs with a bluegrass backing band. And then we did some demos and we did some recordings. And then I kind of sat back and listened to those. And it was just a learning curve then from there. And then I progressed, reaching out to like the likes of Tim and Tim O'Brien. And I decided that I didn't want to particularly use session players. I wanted to kind of go after the players that I iconically love and have been listening to for many years. I mean, Jerry Douglas from all the Transatlantic Sessions, and these are people that we would have been on our radio and on our TV screens, you know. Then I kind of figured it out. I kind of figured out that a lot of my songs, a lot of my singing kind of belonged. That was a great vessel. That they went together pretty good. So we just proceeded from there, yeah.
We're talking with Danny Burns, singer-songwriter from Ireland, Danny, you are coming to us today from the beaches of Mexico with your family down there and finishing up a new record, the latest single, Trouble. Tell us what's going on.
So most of this new project was pretty much tracked before the pandemic hit. So I had the bones of all these songs recorded. I had my vocals done mostly, and I had a lot of the parts done. It was pretty much done by December, January. I mean, I guess things start. We went to Europe to go on tour in March or in like January, when we went to tour France and do the O2 Arena in London for this country festival in March, and that all obviously got cancelled and pulled. So I had this project in my back pocket far along as of December, and then we just started to continue to work on that, and then I had overdub sessions and we'd fly stuff around, and Trouble came out. We're very happy with it. Jerry and everybody played great. Byron House on bass, Josh Day on drums, Eamon McLaughlin on fiddle, Matt Menifee on mandolin, Jerry on dobro, Dan Tominski's singing some lovely in the choruses, and he's also playing lovely guitar. I did some guitar on that too, and then Aubrey's singing fantastic in the choruses and some of the verses too. Yeah, so that's how we did it.
The first single you released from this new collection is Many Moons Ago, and I would like for you to share about the writing of that song, because it's been many years in the making. You started it when you were young, and it's about the relationship between Native Americans and the people of Ireland.
So the story behind that was many moons ago, it's an Irish famine song, I suppose also a nod to the relationship between the Irish and the Native American people. I started a school project back in school when I was about 14, a project that was writing essays about the workhouses, what the workhouses in Ireland were during the famine times. Workhouses was a place when you know, the farms had failed, the crops were failing, the family would have to leave. They could go to this workhouse and get a hot bowl of boiling water and do it a few hours work and get a place to stay, but they'd have to hand over the deeds of their land or the rights to their property. And it was obviously a very colonial concept of oppression. That was the beginning of it. And then, of course, it evolved because I'd started with that, describing what it would have been like for a family. And then, you know, so that was the beginning of the story. Then the other story would have been about how the Choctaw sent support and aid to us during the time of that famine. I always had a notion of adding that in to the storyline. And then also that I have many friends that are Native American that they've come out to gigs. They come good friends. And so I kind of discussed over the maybe couple of years of hanging out with some of these guys, I discussed the idea of the song. And as again, I wrote that song when I was between the ages of maybe 16 and finished it when I was in my late 20s, early 30s.
And even recently, something came up that added more meaning to the song, even though it happened after the song was completed.
It was on Irish radio, they were calling for a Irish Native American month of solidarity. So there were just all these little things that popped up that I kind of heard after the fact, which was interesting to me. But for sure... We have good relationship, good bonds, and as Indigenous people ourselves of Ireland, we've tried to appreciate their struggle as well as I believe they have appreciated ours.